news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
The U.S. Surgeon General, Dr. Vivek Murthy, said Sunday that he backs the reinstatement of mask mandates in response to local increases in coronavirus cases. He stressed the importance of debunking the disinformation spreading on the internet and telling the truth.
After this very difficult year we've been through, people deserve to have access to accurate information. They deserve to hear that from their leaders. They deserve to hear that from the media. They deserve to see that on platforms online. And they need that information to be able to make decisions to protect themselves and their families. That's the least we can do for them. And my worry is that all this is misinformation that's floating around. It's having a real cost that can be measured in lives lost, and that is just tragic.
Los Angeles County on Sunday put its new mask mandate into effect, requiring both vaccinated and unvaccinated to wear face coverings indoors, at businesses, and in public places. The decision came a month after the previous mask mandate was lifted. Los Angeles is the first major U.S. county to reinstate its mask mandate after the broad reopening that followed this year's sharp drop in COVID-19 infections, hospitalizations, and deaths. Coronavirus cases have jumped following the loosening of restrictions as the highly transmissible Delta variant spread rapidly, especially in areas with low vaccination rates. So you know the group of Texas House Democrats who left the state in order to prevent the Republicans from achieving a quorum that they need in order to pass new state voting restrictions. Well, two more of them have now tested positive for COVID-19, bringing the number to five who've tested positive on the trip. The members were reportedly fully vaccinated. The group is in Washington, D.C., seeking meetings with members of Congress to push for federal voting rights legislation, including the For the People Act, to counter new voting restrictions being pushed by a lot of Republican-controlled state legislatures. COVID is also affecting Olympic athletes. Sadly, tennis player Coco Gauff from down here in South Florida, she announced Sunday that she too tested positive for COVID-19 and would not play in the Tokyo Olympics. Gauff said the news was a huge disappointment, tweeting, quote, "It's always been a dream of mine to represent the U.S. at the Olympics, and I hope there will be many more chances for me to make this come true in the future." The 17-year-old had been expected to lead the U.S. in the first Olympics in 25 years without either Serena or Venus Williams playing for the team. Now it's up to U.S. tennis players Jennifer Brady, Jessica Pegula, and Allison Risk to represent the U.S. in women's singles. The Washington Post reported on Sunday that Israeli military-grade spyware known as Pegasus was used to hack 37 smartphones of journalists, human rights activists, and business executives. Among those targeted, the fiancé of murdered Saudi journalist Jamal Khashoggi. The journalists' and activists' phones were on a list shared with the Post by Paris-based journalism nonprofit Hidden Stories and the human rights group Amnesty International. It included more than 50,000 numbers in countries known to spy on people. The Israeli company, the NSO Group, denied the report's findings. And in a sidebar story, the Washington Post proclaimed that Apple's iPhone, considered to be the gold standard for security features, is shown to be vulnerable to spyware intended for tracking terrorists. Well, everything they warned would happen as a result of climate change is now happening. Floods doing serious damage in Europe, landslides destroying neighborhoods in India, and fire now decimating large swaths of the United States. At least 189 people are dead and hundreds more still missing after this catastrophic flooding that hit Western Europe. Caused by unprecedented rainfall, the flooding hit parts of Western Germany before shifting to Belgium and the Netherlands. In the U.S., 80 large fires have been raging in 13 states, burning more than a million acres. And officials in Oregon are warning more residents to prepare to evacuate as the bootleg fire scorches about 300,000 acres. And at least 31 people have been killed in Mumbai after torrential rain triggered landslides that crushed cars and houses in India. German Chancellor Angela Merkel is back home and on Sunday visited a village destroyed in the floods. As Merkel met with survivors and thanked volunteers, she said the destruction was surreal and eerie and said, quote, "The German language has no words, I think, for the devastation." Merkel promised that the government would help to rebuild the infrastructure. Rescue teams continue to look for victims as heavy rains caused further flooding in the southern German region of Bavaria. German meteorologists said the flooding was the worst in at least 500 years. Hundreds of residents are forced to flee Lake Tahoe as wildfires spread rapidly to cover 30 square miles. It's the Tamarack Fire, which is still 0% contained. This fire was started by lightning on July 4th and has just continued growing since then. So there's disease, fire, and now let's talk guns. Shootings over the weekend in Chicago, Philadelphia, Washington, D.C., and other U.S. cities underscored the continuing rise in gun violence across the country this year. In Washington, D.C., outside of Nationals Park, the sound of gunshots sent fans and players running for safety as a game was being played. Three people were wounded. In Chicago, at least 53 were shot in 41 separate shootings between Friday and Sunday night. And in Portland, Oregon, a woman died and six others were wounded after a shooting on Saturday. Other shootings injured children, including a one-year-old wounded Saturday night in Philadelphia. And things come to a head this week in Congress. The House is back from their July 4th recess and, of course, are preparing to leave again in August. Meanwhile, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer is trying to get infrastructure done before that happens. He's scheduling two major deadlines this week to force action on Joe Biden's agenda. So here's how it should work. Schumer files cloture Monday on the so-called bipartisan infrastructure deal, whether or not the final text has been drafted. That'll set up a procedural vote on the bill 30 hours later, putting Republicans on record for the first time Wednesday, even as they continue negotiating on the final language. Senators in the group spent this past weekend trying to fix the pay-fors. Republicans, led by Rob Portman of Ohio, took issue with the plans to beef up IRS enforcement as one solution. But apparently the group was still haggling over something in almost every category of the bill, from highways and transit to water and power infrastructure. Schumer reportedly thinks both sides have had plenty of time to reach an agreement, but this will be a busy week. Schumer also expects to have all 50 Senate Democrats, that means including Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema, committed to the unified budget plan this week. Passage of the $3.5 trillion budget is needed for them to be able to invoke reconciliation, in which they only need 50 votes plus one. If they don't get all 50 votes, it could all fall apart. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is fully listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.